Great, big thanks for that update, Ryan. Really, really good stuff. I want to invite you in your copy of God's Word to James chapter 1 this morning. James chapter 1. We've designed a read-along resource for this series by the same title, Joy and Thriving. And we've designed that. You can get a copy of this, either digital, an ebook, or a paperback copy at Amazon, so feel free to do that. We'd love you to grab one. It's a read-along. It has reflection questions along with it. We think you'll really enjoy and be enriched and resourced along the way. So we invite you to grab a copy there on Amazon. An old farmer went out one morning, and he found that his small donkey had fallen into a deep hole. And the freshly dug hole was intended to be a new well for the farmer's property. But now the farmer was faced with serious trouble. His donkey was braying and stomping down in the hole, utterly frustrated. And farmer's heart went out to the poor animal. And farmer was equally frustrated. Not only had donkey fallen into the depths, but now his prospects for a new well were ruined. What a predicament, right? Now what? It left the farmer saying to himself, now what? Have you had your own serious set of now what moments lately? Have you had your own now what moments? The truth is, we face them all the time. Amidst life struggles, we feel confused, very disoriented, and at a total loss regarding what to do next. And we find ourselves saying, now what? James started his letter by talking about how to persevere in troubled times. We saw it last week together. Several lines from now, he's going to turn our attention toward how we stand through temptation. A call for wisdom, a call for prayer in the now what moments of life, both trials and suffering and tantalizing temptation. Sandwiched in between, James gives us this call, this bold prayer for wisdom. So I want to invite you to pause to ask yourself right now, what are one or two or more really big life arenas or small and pesky life arenas right now where you find yourself in a current now what situation? You might find yourself saying, my kids are driving me batty, now what? Or I have a close friend who is in so much trouble, now what? Or in the midst of all that's been going on, I'm in such a financial crunch, now what? Or my marriage, it feels like it's never going to hold together, now what? Some of us find ourselves saying, wow, following Jesus is so much more challenging than I thought it would be. Now what? It's not popular. It's actually pressurizing to follow Jesus. Now what? How do I deal? What do I do? Some of you, in the midst of all of what's transpired in the previous months, the whirlwind and the chaos, you find yourself saying, I'm at my wit's end with work. Now what? For some of us, there's that constant feeling of isolation or loneliness or confusion socially during these times. And you say, now what? Or I'm very perplexed spiritually in the wake of these difficult days. Now what? Some of us more than ever are asking those kinds of big questions spiritually. Now what? And some of you, in the midst of the ups and downs and the topsy-turvy nature of our days, if you're honest, if you're deep down honest, you say, I'm so pulled toward this temptation or this stubborn habit that has haunted me throughout my life. And now what? If you could have a private coffee and bagel time with God, what would you ask him? About one of those situations or some other testing, tempting situations, let's talk about praying to our good, good Father in the midst of our now what moments. Praying to our good, good Father in the midst of our now what scenarios. In times like these, I find myself asking questions like, if God is there, does he really care? And how can I know for sure that he will answer me? If God is there, does he really care? And how can I know for sure that he will answer me? James exudes confidence in the face of our big life quandaries. He says in chapter 1, verse 5, if anyone is lacking wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you, James says. It will be given to you. James sees prayer as our primary way to access the wisdom necessary for facing our now what situations. Prayer as the primary way for accessing the wisdom necessary in our now what situations. Apparently, James knew a lot about prayer. A renowned early church historian named Eusebius reported how James used to enter alone into the temple and be found kneeling and praying for forgiveness for the people so that his knees grew hard like a camel's because of his constant worship of God. So from his excessive righteousness, he was called the just. In the early church, this church leader, this pillar of the early church was known as James the Just. James prayed so much, he had calloused, camel-like knees. What a way to describe someone's prayer life, right? Now everybody's kind of feeling your knees. What do those feel like right now? Did you notice James' take on God's posture and divine modus operandi toward us? Jesus' brother sees the Lord God as extremely kind, ready to give, eager to answer us with plentiful wisdom. James' deliberate language recognizes how it's often necessary to persevere in prayer. Here's the reality. In real life praying, and most of you know this, you realize this. In real life praying, once and done rarely does it. Once and done, when it comes to praying, rarely does it. James urges us, keep on asking, keep on asking. There's something healthy about ongoing dialogue with God. There are transformative dynamics that transpire in us as we persevere in communicating with him to express our needs. There's something transformative that transpires in us as we keep on communicating with him to express our needs. We grow stronger as we persevere in prayer. If you find yourself at times scratching your head and saying, it shouldn't be this hard in prayer, take heart. There's something good that transpires, good growth. You grow stronger as you persevere in prayer. Vital to realize this is not some run-of-the-mill wisdom. It's not having ready access to the Library of Congress or even being best buds with the brightest brain power in present-day think tanks on the earth. Biblical wisdom is not merely intelligence or profound ideas. James is driving us in the direction of laser-like spiritual insights that we can put into action. Laser-like spiritual insights that we can put into action. And we need more than ever right now, we need God's good judgment for life's now what situations. Both our hard-nosed trials we're facing and those big tugs to cave in to temptation. The Lord's wisdom involves skillful insight, highly practical, truly capable of guiding us in good, godly, long-term directions that match his ideals. Good direction from your good, good Father. That's the essence of wisdom. Good direction from his holy words. Good direction from his truth. Good direction on how to apply his precepts in everyday life. James says, check your perspective on God. He delights in giving you wisdom for the tough and tempting times. He delights in giving you wisdom for the tough and tempting times. Just ask him, James says. He will gladly tell you, and he will not resent you for asking him. There's no displeasure with your good, good Father. There's no big daddy divine grumbling or strings attached when you ask God and he answers you. He's not off somewhere going, oh, good grief. Here goes Pletcher asking me for something again. Oh, my word. I'm going to have to whip up some wisdom for Sylvia because here she goes again needing some wisdom from me, and she needs a lot of it. And Lord, how, oh, my goodness. And Jim on the other. Oh, my goodness. Here he goes again. No, your Heavenly Father doesn't do that. He delights. He knows Jim needs a lot of wisdom. And so what's he going to do? He says, just ask. Jim, just ask. He says that he delights to answer. No displeasure, no grumbling. James actually sounds a whole lot like someone else, a whole lot like Jesus. In Matthew chapter 7, and if you were tuning in and involved in our Pray Like Jesus series, you know almost every week we talked about Jesus' little story in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. I chuckle about Jesus' little story scenario. When my boys were toddlers, they'd climb into their chairs for breakfast, and each had his own unique request for breakfast depending on the provisions that their mom had in stock. They knew we likely had bagels because I was in a breakfast season when bagels were a great big deal. We likely had bagels, and we likely had cream cheese, and we likely had pepperoni. Yes, that combo. Highly recommend. Try it out. Bagel, slathered with cream cheese, pepperoni. And some of you are like, oh, yeah. Highly recommended. Ask the Pletcher boys. Good stuff. And if it wasn't that, it might be Cap'n Crunch cereal. It might be raisin bread if we had that on hand. Always, always an opportunity for eggs, preferably fried dipping eggs. How many of you are fried eggs people? How many of you are scrambled? Yeah, you're scrambled, right. You're scrambled eggs, people. And how many of you, it's got to be a gourmet omelet? Huh? Any gourmet omelets? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. You know, well, in our house, it's all, I learned to make killer fried dipping eggs, and so that's always an option. Now, what would happen? My boys would put in their requests, and I would deliver. Seriously, they're toddlers, they'd be climbing their chairs, I would deliver. I never dreamed of giving them something harsh, gross, or dangerous. Why? Because I was a good, good father. Now, James next takes us in the direction of our confidence factor. Our confidence factor. James urges us in the face of our now what troubles and temptations, don't hold back, he says. Pour out your deepest feelings. Don't hesitate. Come to him boldly. Be authentic. Truly good fathers don't hand out rocks or snakes. Back to Jesus' story. Good, good fathers give good, good gifts. You can be confident. You can be confident. He will grant you wisdom. He will grant you wisdom. This spiritual skill he promises is awesomely wonderful. It goes beyond intelligence and theory. It's intensely personal and helpful down deep in your soul. Don't miss how hands-on practical. God's wisdom is more than just great ideas. It involves great ideas you can incorporate and use in your everyday life. So you interact with truths, with precepts, with principles from God's word, what he wants, and you learn to live those out, and he grants to you those insights, that understanding on how to live daily in such a way, in all you do, in all you say, in the choices that you make, in such a way that you please him, that you honor him, that you walk in step with him. As we pray, receive and implement God's wisdom in our lives, such spiritual acumen actually leads us in becoming more like Jesus. When we pray for wisdom like that, it actually leads us in becoming more like Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:24, the Apostle Paul says, "But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks," that includes all of us, "Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. When we pray for wisdom, we are really asking to become more like Jesus. When you pray for wisdom, you are really asking to become more like King Jesus, because he is wisdom personified. Wisdom has shown up in the person of King Jesus. Wisdom still walks into the room when we pray for and apply such practical spiritual insight in our own daily lives. Wisdom walks into the room. Wisdom walks into your heart. Wisdom climbs in your car when you call out to him saying, "I need help in this situation. I need your insight. I need your truth. I need your direction, Lord." Jesus shows up. Now, all of this makes perfect sense when we realize that James' big deal is faith in action, faith at work from the inside out. James pushes for the kind of faith that transforms you and your everyday life, a faith that helps you become a different kind of person, and a different kind of person is then ready to help, to bless, to serve, and proclaim King Jesus' good news to neighbors, coworkers, family, and others. God is not some mean ogre in the sky. He's not that kind of father. He's not some mean ogre whom you have to grovel toward in order to eke out a little blessing of greater emotional or mental or spiritual insight. He actually delights in answering your cry for such wisdom and insight. So right now, I'll admit to you, honestly, I have plenty of moments in my life right now that are just utterly like, you know, now what moments, Lord? Honestly. I have moments that way related to how in the world all of us deal going forward. It seems like hourly The news changes their tune, the experts change their tune, something else is now the hot take on what you ought to be doing. Who knows? When are you really supposed to wear these, right? Wow. Now what, Lord? We find ourselves asking all kinds of now what questions, financially and with family and with kids and back to school. Oh, Lord, please. Wisdom so the kids can go back to school, please. Kids back to school, Lord. So many different pressing issues of now what, and honestly, I feel it constantly, and you do too, and it's so important that we realize he delights to give you wisdom. He delights to answer. So let's pause right now. Seriously, right now we're going to pause. Let's pause and pray. Let's just take a couple moments together of silence. The worship team's going to come back right now and lead us in a kind of an intermission song for us right now. And I want to invite you in these moments to pray on what's puzzling and what feels uncertain. What's your now what right now? Just want to invite you to ask him. Ask him boldly, with confidence. Ask him. And know that even as you pray, he's going to start his process of answering you. Lord, thank you for such a promise. Thank you for such confidence. And so right now, for every one of us in our various now what moments, we cry out to you for wisdom, Lord Jesus. And we thank you that you walk into the room and you answer. We're going to keep on asking you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you so much. When we really grasp that we are his children, that he is our good, good father, it dramatically changes our confidence factor. In verses 6 through 8, James says, always check your confidence quotient. Drop your doubts. Doubts and fears are real. We all face them. For all of us, we have those places that haunt us, those fears, those doubts, those pesky things that haunt the corridors of our mind. We all have them. It's normal. James is calling us to drop the doubts and drop the fears. He says, don't be like a wave that's tossed around if you've gone out on a boat during this time in the last few weeks, or you've gone to the shore and gone out into the waves, you know, whoa, what happens? Tossed around, you drift around, you can get crashed by waves. They go all over the place. James loves to employ word pictures like this. It seems that he probably learned this teaching method from none other than his brother Jesus, because Jesus richly used pictures, word pictures. Where's your confidence? Seriously, take stock right now. Where's your confidence? Are you trusting yourself or King Jesus? This is faith, a solid confidence, a growing confidence, a growing confidence that he is big enough and strong enough to deliver on his character and promises. After all, both his character and promises are true through and through. So you can let your confidence grow. Even in the midst of the tough times, your confidence can grow stronger. He's loving enough to come through for you with all the wisdom and strength you need, especially in the tough times. The apostle maintains that if you don't hold steady confidence, you're like that wave tossed around in the sea, unstable, double-minded, tossed back and forth. Is your confidence in the Lord unwavering? Is your confidence in the Lord's power to provide his wisdom, his character, the very presence of Jesus in your heart and life? Is it unwavering? Is it growing? Is it on the grow in your life? Or are you still trying to make it through life based on your own insight, your own power, and your own emotional stamina, and your own spiritual wisdom and resources? Those methods will fall flat every time. Every time. Again, James was echoing Jesus' teaching. His consistent connection with confident faith and prayer to our Father. One day, Jesus said, if you have faith and do not doubt, you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer, Jesus said. Now, was Jesus employing hyperbolic teaching to make his point? Yes, certainly. But I've so often heard people work overtime to over-explain this. And when they're done dissecting and giving their caveats, I'm often left with the impression that nothing is left of Christ's original point. He really was seeking to urge us to pray bolder prayers, stronger in our faith. We dare not doubt his intended message. The sky's the limit on what God can accomplish as you pray with strong faith. John 15:7, Jesus emphasized the importance of our abiding in him. Jesus was saying, remain in me, stick close with me, in me, Jesus says. Stick with me, stick with my words, and I will answer you. You see, coming to know the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, is the primary way that you learn to pray the will of God, to come to know His truth, His precepts. Your understanding then grows of who Christ is and who His truth truly is, how you live it out. He says, I will answer you. James urges us to pray with bold confidence, believing that God will give us wisdom for facing our troubles and temptations. Now, consider how God answers. Consider how God answers. It's important to check your own expectations of God in prayer. We all bring expectations to our praying. It's important to note that God is not a cosmic vending machine. Put in the right amount of money, push the right buttons, maybe even give it a bang or a kick, and then voila, you've got exactly what you want. No, prayer doesn't work that way. In 1 John 5, 14 and 15, the Apostle John instructs us to pray in line with what pleases God. He says, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We can be confident. He will answer us when we pray in line with what He wants. And here's something extra encouraging to think on. Ask for wisdom. And then know with confidence that as you are listening and as you are learning and truly tuned in, God will answer that prayer every time. You can bank on it. Ask Him for wisdom and He will answer. You can bank on it. It is His will to give you wisdom. It is His will to increase your understanding. It is His will to strengthen you to truly live out truth in your everyday life. That is His will through and through. Every time you can bank on it. So ask Him for wisdom, and He will answer. I've found that Don Cousins and Judson Poling's summation on how God answers prayer is super helpful. Super helpful. They say there are at least four ways God commonly answers our prayers. First, He might say no. Shocker, right? No, that's not what I want for your life. Not best for you. God might say, slow. Wait. It's not my timing yet. I will do it, but not yet. He might say, grow. Hold on. I have a lot for you to learn right now. I've found that that is so often how God answers my prayers. Anybody else relate? So often it's, okay, grow. Good question. Good request. It's time to grow. And sometimes He does indeed say, go. Go. Green light. That's it. You've got it. You've got it. And with that answer, you're off to the races. James says, pray for wisdom and know with confidence you'll receive all you need in order to persevere. Pray with confidence and you will receive all you need in order to persevere. He delights to answer our prayers when we cry out to Him for wisdom. The old farmer was so puzzled, but he prayed. He did. He prayed over his predicament. He stared down into the wall at his poor little donkey, and he decided what he believed to be the wisest course of action. He would just start shoveling dirt back into the hole. Fellow farmers from neighboring properties shook their heads in astonishment. What a waste of a well, and such a sad loss of a fine animal. And shovel by shovel, dirt dropped in on the poor donkey's back. Thunk. At first, the donkey felt doomed to be buried. But then something happened. Donkey shook it off, and he stepped up on top of the dirt. More dirt fell, and he did it again. Shook it off, and then again. Hour by hour, the farmer kept shoveling. Scoop after scoop, donkey kept shaking it off and stepping up. And late that night, by lantern light, one very dirt-covered, dusty donkey stepped up out of the hole, safe and sound. Each of us faces situations like farmer and donkey. Each of us face our now what situations, and we can each pray, and we can each gain wisdom, and we can each persevere. Ultimately, as we pray, as we gain wisdom, as we persevere, we gain Christ Jesus himself, his life, his truth, his forgiveness, and his wondrous ways. And God's wisdom, after all, is so down to earth. So down to earth. It often means we just need to keep praying and keep shaking it off and stepping up and encountering Christ's presence every step of the way. Jesus, thank you so much that you still walk into the room when we cry out for wisdom. And we admit that we are in times, we are living in days when we're just really, really not sure, uncertain. There are plenty of times, that we don't know what to do next. And we just cry out to you right now, inviting you to grant your wisdom, your presence in powerful ways, Lord Jesus. We thank you and we praise you. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing out together.